I honor my sexuality. That's an interesting statement, isn't it?
Yeah.
And this is Instant Illumination, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. I honor my sexuality. Well, now, that brings a lot of ideas up in many people's minds of honoring their sexuality, and they think, wow, wow, wow. And, of course, it is a wow, wow, wow. Think about it. You are either a man or a woman or a hermaphrodite, and there are not many hermaphrodites around, so we'll just ignore that for the moment, but you're either a man or a woman. Now, you honor your sexuality. This is something that has been pretty definitely done over the years, except it has been done with so many anchors to it and so many limiting things to it that it was difficult for people to honor their sexuality. Men were, well, being the patriarchal society that we're in, the male society, it has been the women who have taken the back seat, so to speak, and they run everything from the back seat, but they took the back seat and did not make a lot of noise. They did not make a lot of fuss about being in charge, even though they were in charge. They raised the children, and the children had whatever attitudes they had and whatever they taught them, and they kept their husbands happy and made sure that their husbands did whatever they wanted them to do. And even though they acted coy about it, the husband always ended up doing what the wife wanted him to do. A few exceptions, but very rare. And even in the rare exceptions, the husband still does what the wife wants him to do. Now, what is I honor my sexuality? If we could really recognize what our sexuality is, that we are men and we are women, and what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? Now, it's just not a matter of the sexual organs that we have. It's a matter of our sexual beingness, who we are inside. There are some people who feel that they are trapped inside of a woman's body and that they're a man. And some people feel that they're a woman trapped inside of a man's body. And they want to change their sex. They want to change their outward experiences. And this is very interesting and very neat. But you see, they're going about it the wrong way. Just like women have gone about it the wrong way historically, and men have gone about it the wrong way, a man has sensitivity, he has caringness, he has gentleness, he has tenderness, he has all the things that a woman has in him. And a woman has all the male aspects that a man has. The ability to be strong, the ability to make decisions, the ability to have cold attitudes toward things when it has to be done that way. And so, you see, within both male and female are always the two aspects, the male and the female aspect. And this is a beautiful thing. But why did you choose to have a woman's body? Or why did you choose to have a man's body when you were born onto this dimension? You chose to have that body so that you could demonstrate the ultimate, the maximum, of what having that body means. Now, what does it mean to be a woman? Now, to be a woman, we might say, is a woman of class. I was just thinking as I was walking the path this morning or this afternoon or sometime, about the Queen of England again. And I was thinking how the Queen walks with class. When she comes into a room, people are already taken by her aura, and they may not even know she's a queen. But they know it because she radiates that aspect about her. But now just stop and think of this. If you were in the same room with the Queen, and she were walking around, would you notice how she walks? Would you notice the clothing she has on? Would you notice anything about her except the idea that she is totally in charge of herself and her world? you wouldn't notice any of these simple things which make the difference. Now, I would say if the queen were walking with poor gait, with a poor step, you would certainly recognize that, and you would think that the queen had a poor training in that area. If the queen wore clothing that was not respectful to the queen, you would think that was not the proper thing to do. But yet, when the queen wears anything, everybody looks only at the queen's aura and doesn't see what she wears. Like I often said about Stefan Stressley, Stefan can put on beautiful clothes and look real handsome. And he can put on ordinary clothes that he just works for working in or for playing in, and again, he looks just handsome. He makes the clothes look like they are beautiful and good. Now, how does he do that? He has the aura about him that he is a special person. He has the aura about him that he was the 100,000th child born in his hospital, and he was Prince Stefan from the date of his birth on. And they treated him like that and gave him all sorts of special gifts at the time he was born because he was the 100,000th child in the hospital. Now, what about the child born just before him and the child born just after him? Did they have the same attitude about them, that they were royalty, that they were princes, that they were princesses, that they were special? Quite likely not, because they were not treated that way. Now, but for a fluke of timing, they could have been born at the moment that Stefan was born. And what if three children were born at the very instant, the very second that Stefan was born? Would you have three princes? Would you have three royal children? You'd have to. You'd have to, because they were born as the 100,000th child, and the three of them came in a tie. They came in neck and neck and neck, you know? So, what is this that makes Stefan appear the way he does? What is it that makes the Queen of England appear the way she delights in her sexual femininity. She delights in her being a woman. She delights in her being a person of charm and class and wit. Stefan delights in being a man. Stefan doesn't tout the fact that he's a man. He doesn't go around saying, I'm a man and I'm macho, although he likes to play soccer and does very well at it and things like that. But he doesn't do that. What he does, he radiates the idea that he is an exquisite man. Every person who ever meets Stefan falls in love with him right away. It is just that way. It, man or woman, everyone just falls in love with him, and they think he's the most wonderful thing on the face of the earth. Now you say, my God, Herb, you're really pushing that pretty heavy, aren't you? No, it's his attitude. Now, what gives Stefan the right to have that attitude? Well, by his choice. What about you and me? Do we have the right to have an attitude that we are very wonderful, that we are very special, that we were born a prince or princess, huh? Couldn't we have that attitude? Now, if I came up to Ellen and I said, Ellen, you are really a princess. I just found out that you are the Princess of Monaco, and that you're the long-lost child that was abandoned, but not abandoned, but that was kidnapped when you were a little one, and you were the one. You were the one. You never got back. And now, see, here's your blood type, here's your fingerprints, here's all these things, and that's who you are. And Ellen say, wow, wow. Does that mean I got to go to Monaco and live? And you don't have to do anything because you're a princess. You're a queen type, you know. You can do what you want to do. But it would probably be interesting going to Monaco and living in the palace there and being part of that wonderful family. yes. And she says, and be near her son. Now, interesting how we think these things. But now, why don't you be a princess in your consciousness? Why don't you be a princess like Stefan is a prince? Now, Stefan does not have a great deal of money. He does not have great homes. He does not have great control and responsibilities and stuff like that. He has good stuff. He's successful in everything he does. But What gives him the right to be that way? By his choice. What gives you the right to be a woman or a man? By your choice. Would you like to be the best woman or the best man that you could be? Would you like to honor your sexuality? And then, at all times, dress like that. But you mean I can't wear work clothes and I can't wear slacks and jeans, the woman might say? No, you can wear anything you want, but don't wear it. It is on you, the princess or the queen, but don't wear it. You put it on your body, but nobody sees it. Nobody sees it because your personal radiance is so glorious as a woman. You are such a magnificent woman that you are great. Now, the old story about women was that they had to sleep with the boss to get someplace on the job. And that was sort of a joke, because when a woman had talent, she could do anything she wanted to. She might be stepped on, she might be pushed back, because she had caused that herself by the conditions that she had built up in the children that she has raised. Yes, every woman raises children and say, the men are superior, the men are supreme, the men are the bosses, the men are the cheeses and stuff like that. And isn't that interesting? And then women wonder, well, why is it that we get the low end of the totem pole, you know? Well, you get the low end of the totem pole because you created that for yourself. You created no respect for women. Now, what if this were a matriarchal society where women were the big bigs, you know? Women were running the show. What would happen? Would every woman go around acting like she was a fabulous being? No. This is a patriarchal society. Do all the men go around acting like they are princes and kings? No, they don't. And why don't they? And because they don't believe that about themselves. Now, many do. Many, by force, by sheer force alone, by power, force their way into being a person in charge. But that's no help at all. Today, women are rising to the heights of all the business CEOs and to top levels, not because they've slept with the boss, but because they had genius. They have genius. And they are expressing that genius continuously in their position. And they make their businesses make money, which is a big thing. Their businesses are growing, 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 growing because these women are so outstanding. Because they're unlimited, because they're a princess, because they're a queen, and they respect their sexuality. They respect it very much, and they wear lovely clothes, and they act very wonderful, but they act like they would act under any other circumstances where they are in charge. They don't act one way just because they're the boss. A lot of bosses act a certain way because they're the boss. And the real bosses never act that way. The real bosses just go in and say, hey, I got a job to do. Okay, what are you guys talking about? Tell me what you got on your mind. And then they tell them what they have on their mind. And the boss says, thank you very much. He doesn't say, all right, I'm going to listen to this. Now you tell me more about that. He says, I will take it into my own consideration. Because I'm a genius. That's what made me the boss. I'm a genius. And I'm going to take all the ideas that you're offering to me, and I'm going to take one or two of them, maybe all of them, take one or two of them, and I'm going to make them my ideas. My ideas, they have to be my ideas if I'm going to promote them. I can't say, this is something that Sylvia gave me. This is an idea that Sylvia gave me, and I think it's a pretty good idea. Well, there'll be people who don't agree with Sylvia and people who do agree with Sylvia. And so then you'd have those pros and cons working with you on whatever you're working on. But Sylvia gives you an idea and you say, thank you, Sylvia. And then you go out and you make that idea yours and you make it a success. But you see, you don't keep it Sylvia's idea, because Sylvia's idea was merely the mechanism of it. Yours is the magic of it. You take the magic and the mechanism and put it together, and you have really an outstanding activity going on. This is what being and honoring your sexuality is all about. It's being yourself and having fun. It's being the master of yourself, being the master of all things that you do. And it isn't a matter of your sexual organs. It isn't a matter of your sexual preferences or anything like that. It's a matter of your sexual respect for yourself, for who you are. I am a man. I am a woman. What are you? How do you respect that being that you are? And are you respecting yourself as a woman according to the way society has defined it over the years? If you are, that's pretty bad. Are you respecting yourself as a man as society has defined it over the years? If you are, that's pretty bad. We saw a movie last night.
Love Comes Softly.
Love Comes Softly. And the man in the movie was about as gentle as could be, and yet as strong and firm and wise as could be. He was a master. He believed in his convictions, and he followed them through. Now, the woman was fighting her way. She was fighting her way because she had lost her husband, and she really didn't want to come west, and she really wasn't sure of what she was doing, but she did it. And she had to find herself. And as she found herself, she became a princess. She was acting like a princess 5-10 times as the movie was progressing. And other times she was acting like a normal, selfish woman. And that was unfortunate. But at the end, she woke up. She woke up that what she had was a pretty wonderful thing. And what she could give to that would be pretty wonderful. And everybody in the program, everybody in the family, appreciated this woman who was coming into the life of the man who had lost his wife previously. But you see, it's a glorious show. It's a show that showed absolute respect for the male. It was not a matter of putting the man down because the woman is sitting on his head, you know. And it's not a matter of putting the woman down because he respected the woman as much as anybody could ever respect a woman in all of the universe. You see that movie and you think to yourself, wow, what a glorious tribute to women. He was a master. And you know that it was a script, you know that it was a pro, but you know it also may have come from real life. And you know that somewhere in real life, those type of men do exist. And fully revealed like he did. Now, he was representative of the finest qualities of a male person. And she, towards the end, became a representative of the finest qualities of what a female could do. Really quite amazing and beautiful. A lot of respect. And we've seen other movies, Kate and Leopold, where Leopold represented the quality of a gentleman, never losing his way in being the gentleman. And Kate, she was a flamboyant, dynamic, fabulous woman, but she also realized there was something more to her than what she was expressing. And so she was realizing that and bringing that forth as in she did in the final stage of the movie. But you see, these are lovely things. These are lovely things. And you say, well, that's movies you're talking about. Yeah, that's fiction you're talking about. Yeah, fiction does sort of catalyze all these things. How many queens of England do you know? How many Princess Dianes? She came from a commoner family, and she became the princess of England. And she was loved by the people. She was loved by the nation itself. And she went through a lot of difficult circumstances. But she came out at the end smelling like a rose, even though she would goof up a little bit, because she had such love for herself and for the people that she was dealing with. The children loved her. The adults loved her. The men loved her. The women loved her. She is a symbol of the ideal princess for all mankind, because that's the only kind we've known. We haven't known many princesses and queens and princes in our world. There just aren't too many countries that have them anymore. But remarkable, remarkable. Yeah. The ideal is there. The ideal is there. The ideal of respecting our sexuality. And you look at your father and you say, oh, my dad was so wonderful, so great. My dad was the greatest dad in the world. No, he wasn't. He was good. He did a lot of good things. But he was trying his way. He was experimenting as he went along. He didn't know everything in the beginning. His mother and father didn't sit him down and say, well, son, we're going to open the book now on what being a father is and what being a man is and what being, you know, a husband is and what being this is. And this is how it is, you know. Nobody said that to him. Nobody said that to him at all. Because nobody knew it. Everyone has to sort of find it in their inner manual. But you can tell the people who have read the manual within themselves, because there is a manual for being a male and a manual for being a female, and there's a manual for being a child, and there's a manual for being an older person, and there's a manual for everything. But it's right inside each individual person, and that manual is the purity and the goodness and the wonderfulness of respecting their inner self, respecting their sexuality, respecting their body, respecting their mind, respecting whoever they are. And today, you and I, in our meditation and introspection, can quietly go within and start reading that manual. Or, if you prefer, you can go into introspection and let the manual be read to you by your God nature. And that's kind of fun too. So, whatever turns you on, whatever makes you happy, whatever fulfills your life in its most beautiful and wonderful way, I say to you, go for it today, because it's yours, and it always was and always will be. I love you, I love you, I love you.